This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I still believe firmly the Yankees are better than the Blue Jays. I thought the one legit threat coming into the year would have been the Red Sox. We know what happened with them trading Devers and falling off a little bit. So let's keep them aside. The Rays right there behind the Yankees, and the Jays now tied with the Yankees, feeling themselves after taking the first three of this four-game series. But a win tonight for the Yanks will change all that. So it's not about the standings or the Blue Jays, even though they're a better team than maybe I thought. The Yanks should be better than Toronto. It's about the Yankees, and it's about their lack of accepting their reality because they're too deep in the numbers. This is what I firmly believe. I believe the Yankees are so deep in the analytics that say that certain players are better than what the eyes say that they are. And maybe it's not as bad as we think because the analytics say certain things. That's number one. Number two, they could rely on their record, which it's hard to argue against their record. Like when we say, hey, Cashman, dude, just not getting the job done. They can look at it and say, dude, 30 years, how many times we missed the postseason? We win 90-plus games every year. We're a legit threat to win the World Series. And I'm like, yeah, but, dude, you guys don't play baseball that way. And they're like, well, dude, we just made the World Series. And, you know, enough with the dude stuff, but you get the point. The Yankees feel like they're better than we see them to be. And it's hard to argue against a team that went to the World Series a year ago, a team that wins 90-plus games regularly and always have a chance. But if you forget that and throw out the damn analytics and watch them play, and this has been going on for years, it's not just a now thing, whether it's IKF at shortstop. The Yankees told us IKF was a great shortstop even after we watched him play and said, there's no way this guy is a great shortstop. I don't care what the analytics say. He's not. Then they finally moved him off of short in the postseason. They also tried to force Gleyber Torres at shortstop. How'd that go? Now they're saying that Jazz Chisholm is better at third. Like, no, he's a better, their best second baseman's playing third. And then last night, the kicker, Ben Rice, catching or attempting to catch. Watch him play. Look at the faces that he's making. Ben Rice may have played plenty of games at catcher in the minor leagues. He's not good. He's not a major league catcher. Just because you played there in the minor leagues doesn't mean it's your position. Rice, unfortunately, doesn't have a position. It's DH, which would be fine if they didn't already have a DH in Giancarlo Stanton. They're trying to get Rice more at-bats. He can't play third base. So they say, well, at least he did play catcher before. And they put him in there, and it cost him a game last night. Think about how stupid it is to have Ben Rice catching a big league game, catching Devin Williams, no less, with his nasty stuff, and the airbender and all that stuff can be difficult to catch. They have him catch in a tight game, late, on the road, battling for first place. Like, that is just, doesn't make any sense. Would you think you were going to get away with it? Cross our fingers here. Hope to not have it come down to a spot where Ben Rice needs to block a ball. I mean, I think that's what their hope is. because the lane that they had Williams in said Williams probably going to go 1-2-3. And by the way, Williams hasn't been anywhere near as good as the Yankees thought he was going to be. But that's just a little side note. They're wasting Aaron Judge. Now, to a certain extent, because Judge does take some of the blame for his failures in the postseason, his struggles in the postseason, it's not that he's not clutch. He is clutch. He's hit two of the more clutch home runs you could ever see this year in the regular season. One off of Crochet, the one last night. And unfortunately, Yankees have lost both those games, not to mention the one in the postseason against Class A. Like, it's not about being clutch. It's that Judge has not performed up to his incredibly lofty standards in the postseason. And that will change eventually, you hope sooner than later, before he starts to get older and maybe declines a little bit. That will change at some point, and maybe that will be enough to overcome the other areas of deficiency. But for now, it hasn't been. And they haven't put the best team that they can around him, meaning let him be the powerhouse in that lineup. Not saying you can't have home runs elsewhere in the lineup, but build a team with better ball players. You don't need a catcher who can hit 30 home runs. Get a guy who's going to be a lock solid defender back there. You don't need power at every position, but you do need guys who can catch the ball, field the ball, catch the ball, throw the ball, run the bases, maybe, I know this is crazy, but like maybe put the bat on the ball to put the ball in play like the Blue Jays do and see what happens when other teams can catch it. Or if they do catch it, you could tag up and take the extra base and turn that into a run or two. I mean, the Blue Jays scoring runs without getting a hit. Couple of walks, no problem. Couple of runs. It's the same thing with the Yankees. And the biggest issue is not all that we just said. It's that the Yankees don't think that there's an issue. They think we're crazy for making it an issue because the numbers say differently. BT and Sal on the Fan or Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We also talked about the Mets and their struggles that continue. Last night, they finally get a win, splitting that doubleheader. The change in the lineup was the big thing with Nimmo batting leadoff and Lindor hitting the two-hole. Both those guys had success. To me, it's not about where they hit. It's about those guys being consistent performers. You know Lindor's going to hit. I'm not so sure Nimmo is. Obviously, the Mets. The reason why I'm not panicking with the Mets is because they have reinforcements coming. In 2 weeks, it could look different. But they still obviously have to prove themselves as a team. Totally different level than the Yankees. We know the Yankees will be in the postseason. Are we sure the Mets are going to be? I think they will be. But they haven't proven themselves yet to earn that trust from the fan base. And right now, things are bad. I mean, it feels okay because they won a game. Great. Now tonight, win a series. And then both these teams will collide this weekend. We also mentioned Mike Brown, of course, in the hiring that the Knicks made yesterday, and I think it's a mistake. Regardless of who they hired, I didn't love the Mike Brown hire anyway. Retread, failed head coach, multiple stops, never won a championship, most famous for being an assistant and coaching LeBron James. Can't tell me that he's better than Tom Thibodeau. Different, yes. Better, no. So outside of somebody who was a known commodity, championship pedigree as a head coach, there was no way it was going to be a better move to me than keeping Tom Thibodeau for another year. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Don is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Donnie?
What's up, brother? Listen, man, you're not on my favorite list, respectfully, but whatever you're doing right now, like, I think you should do your show solo from now on. You are nailing it. If the Yankees want to win ever again, they need to listen to everything that you just said. You are knocking it out of the park, man.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that, Don. What would you do? So, I mean, aside from agreeing with me, give me some specifics on what you would do here to fix your Yanks.
Volpe, first and foremost, time to send him down. Enough is enough. You hit all the points, man. I mean, Rice blew the game. I shut the game off in the first inning when it was 7-0.
Understood.
So we can't sit here and pretend that we're a better baseball team than we are. Keep running the same stuff out. And like you said, oh, Boone is going to make excuses here and there. There's no accountability. At the end of the day, you're not beating the Dodgers with this team. And that needs to be the only goal that you have, period.
Yeah, because they got that far. See, the goal prior, and thank you for the call, Don, and we do appreciate the kind words. The goal prior to last year was, hey, at least get back to a World Series. Okay, check. They got back to a World Series. Now, I think they got worse. Doesn't need to be about Soto, but he's a part of it because he was so great for the Yankees a year ago. Tell me how they're definitively better. I'm not so sure they believe that they're definitively better. They pivoted to plan B. I didn't think they did enough in the offseason. I wanted the third baseman. Okay, could they address that in season? Sure. They better at the trade deadline. But the idea, see, we could say, well, maybe Boone behind closed doors does hold guys accountable. And maybe he does. But what we're seeing is not accountability. Because if guys were being held accountable, Jazz would be playing second base, meaning that, hey, you know what? He's a second baseman. We're playing him out of position. Let's put, like, the Yankees aren't holding themselves. Forget about holding the players accountable. They're not holding themselves accountable. Jazz should be at second. Simple, easy fix. Put LeMahieu at third. Now, again, I would have moved on from LeMahieu years ago. They, for some reason, keep him on the roster. They think there's value there. But while he's here, put him at third base. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a Dartmouth or Columbia grad to figure that out. I don't need you to give me the analytics. I don't need to go over the data. It's pretty simple. Sometimes your eyes and a little common sense can go a long way. Jazz Chisholm is the Yankees' best second baseman. Argue that. Argue that. I'd love to hear Boone or Brian Cashman themselves argue that. Here's a fact. This is not an opinion. Jazz, well, I mean, maybe it is an opinion, but in my mind, it is a fact. But argue this. Jazz Chisholm is the Yankees' best second baseman. I'd love for Boone or Cashman. What are they going to say?
Well, our metrics show that LeMahieu actually is good at second base.
No! I don't care what the metrics say. Jazz is your best second baseman. And then my counter to that is, why is he playing third base? There is no good answer. And that's just one issue. The other would be, what makes you think Ben Rice is good enough to be a catcher at the big league level? I understand his bat. I understand you want him in the lineup. What makes you think he's good enough to be the catcher at the big league level, especially in a tight spot with Devin Williams on the mound late in the game? Like, that just, it makes no sense. And the answer is going to be, well, we wanted to get his bat in the lineup. And he was a catcher before. I'd be like, yeah, but he's not good enough. You're seeing it. So accountability would be if Ben Rice never catches again for the Yankees. Those are little things that are easy fixes. Then you could say, okay, well, go get either a backup catcher. Well, obviously, that's not the priority. Like, yeah, go get a third baseman first. You need a reliever or two, but a backup catcher could go a long way. I would take it a step further and say that I can't even blame Ascara, really, because they're teaching him the catcher's interference stuff. That's an organizational thing. Boone explained it the other day. He said it for everybody to hear. Certain guys, we feel like we could get away with certain things. So, you know, that's a thing. What depend on the bat. Like, they're teaching it. The Yankees are teaching to reach further out, to catch the pitch sooner, to get to try to steal a strike with framing. They're teaching the catcher's interference. So maybe it doesn't matter what catcher they bring in. That's a Yankees organizational thing. Holding the organization accountable. Brian Cashman, he's questioned on lack of player development. And instead of saying, guys have not developed the way that we would like, we're trying to fix it, each individual is different, but for whatever reason, it hasn't worked with us with several players. Instead of that, he gets defensive and argues. Oh, Volpe hasn't played many games at AAA. He's got 1 year under his belt. He's trying to get his sea legs under him. Yeah, well, is that our fault or is that your fault? Why doesn't he have many games at AAA? Because you thought he was good enough to be a star at the big league level now. And this was year one. He thought that year one, after year one, thought that again. And expected, because he wouldn't have said what he said to Joel Sherman if he didn't expect Volpe to take that step in year two. And guess what happened? He didn't take that step. And now we're in year three. And he's regressed. He's gotten worse. So now where's the accountability? Where is it?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Where's the acknowledgement? No, you're right, Cash. Yanks have been great at developing players. Perfect at it. So good, in fact, there's a list of guys that the list is so long, I can't even name them all, that you guys have properly developed along the way. And maybe it's not on the development. Maybe it's just that they're not that good. But that's also a knock on you and the organization. Either way, it's not, man, again, the best counter that the Yankees have is, well, we were in the World Series a year ago, well, we're in the postseason every year. Okay. Eventually, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, eventually it's either going to fail miserably and they'll miss the postseason like they did in 2023, or they'll break through in the postseason and get lucky one year and Judge will carry them to win a World Series. That could happen. I mean, if you're in the playoffs, anything could happen. I mean, it hasn't happened since 2009, but it could happen. Casey is in plain view. What's up, Casey?
Hey, Sal. I just want to start off by saying that I am by no means a Cashman defender historically. I agree with a lot of what you're saying, especially about the lack of development of young players. But I think the criticism for this year specifically is unfair and it's overblown, and I'll tell you why. I think that some of the moves he's made, going back to last year, getting Jazz. You said you wanted guys that could hit, run, and catch. Jazz is one of them. I think Bellinger is a pro that you're talking about, could hit, run, and catch. I think Goldschmidt looks like a good signing. And then in addition, they signed Fried, which pretty much, you know, they went big on that. They saved the season by signing him with the season he's having. And they got Devin Williams, who's supposed to be the best reliever in all of baseball, and he's been nothing short of a disaster. When Cole went down right before the season, that changed everything. If you add Cole to this team and a normal, semi-normal Devin Williams, what do they have? 10 more wins? Maybe 15 more wins?
I mean, no, that's absurd.
You'd be talking about how Cashman... That's not absurd.
Yeah, it is.
Devin Williams himself has blown 6-7 games, and then Gerrit Cole is a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, no, I understand how good Gerrit Cole is, but to me that's absurd to say they'd be 15 games better. Not having
maybe
Gerrit Cole...
10? I mean, Devin Williams, I mean, he's blown so many games in horrible fashion.
Okay, and so, whose fault is that exactly then?
His fault. He's pitching terrible. He's the best reliever in baseball. It's not a bad sign to bring him onto the team. It's
says
his
who?
Fault. He's pitching horrible.
Says who he was the best reliever in baseball. How do you look in the postseason a year ago?
Rocked in the postseason.
Okay, well, Casey,
Alonso hit a home run.
All I can tell you is I can't speak for everybody else, but when the Yankees made that move, I said, okay, it's a fine move. Like, the idea that you think it's going to be the best, that he's going to be the best reliever in baseball just because he was at certain points, to me is ridiculous. You can't trust bullpen. I'm not saying you in particular. I'm saying everybody. Like, sure. Bullpens are so fickle year to year. It's impossible to predict that, hey, let's take player X from team B and bring him here, and he's going to be exactly that. Especially off of an injury-riddled year with Williams last year when he got beat in the postseason. Also, you got to throw in the new...
It's not too much...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's not too much to ask for him to be an asset to the team. And I think if he was just an asset to the team, a positive contributor, plus Gerrit Cole... You're not talking about this. You're talking about how great of a season the Yankees are having in their running away with the division.
It's not true.
Early success.
Okay. So
early success threw off the expectations.
So let's counter with this. What's Volpe's excuse? Whose fault is that? Is that Colby? Go ahead.
Volpe needs to go after this year, and third base needs to be addressed.
Okay. So they don't have a third baseman. We agree there. Volpe needs to be addressed. What about the catching situation? You okay with Ben Rice playing catching last night, late in that game?
I think they tried it out, and they see that it's not going to work, and
Correct.
They're not going to see him.
And now why'd they try that out?
Because Austin Wells is, Ben Rice has been one of their best bats this year.
Correct. And why?
They want to see if they get a bat in the lineup.
Bingo. So now whose fault is that, Casey? And thank you for the call. It's the Yankees' fault, and Cashman specifically. And by the way, he's judged on a curve. Like, I understand what success Brian Cashman has had. I also understand banging the head against the wall doing the same thing. And you could say, okay, well, he brought in Bellinger, who's a different type player. Sure, okay, different type player. Can run a little bit, can catch a little bit. Offensively, he's not the consistent player that I would be looking for if I'm the Yankees. I thought it was a fine acquisition to try and replace Soto a little bit. And he hasn't been as good as we expected. But it's not like Bellinger has been a stud prior consistently and then came here and fell off a little bit. Bellinger was available.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bowl at a decent price, in part because he's been inconsistent. Jazz, same thing. Jazz is not some 300 hitter. he's played well since coming back, and he's a good fielder, good athleticism. He's another guy who strikes out way too much and has a potential to hit home runs. It's not as bad as some people make it seem, but there is the one constant that the Yankees just neglect to address: the lack of fundamentals, playing the game the right way, playing guys out of position. There's no excuse for that. This is the Yankees. Shouldn't be happening like that. We'll be live from Citi Field tomorrow. I figured I want to work. I'm thankful that the bosses allowed this to happen, Mets and Yanks allowing us to be able to do the show out there. They're like, dude, take the day off with your family. I'm like, take the day off with my family. I'd rather be out at Citi Field watching the Mets and Yankees. Let's go. Let's go do a show there. If we could do it from there, great. Sign me up. And we were able to make it happen, so I'm looking forward to that. Talking a lot of Subway Series tomorrow. It just sucks that it is, you know, a holiday weekend. Subway Series is usually an exciting thing, even with the teams playing the way that they are right now. Both teams obviously down in the dumps heading into this Subway Series, regardless of what happens tonight. But the fact that it kind of gets buried on 4th of July weekend sucks. But yeah, either way, I'll be here working tomorrow, looking forward to it, or be out there working tomorrow, looking forward to it, and then hanging with Hoff at the game for a little bit until I got to beat traffic out of there. I'm being, not going to lie to you. I mean, it is 4th of July. I'll stay. Oh, Hoff, you staying for the whole game or what? What is the deal for tomorrow?
Yes, I'm staying, but I also have other commitments after the game, too.
Are you doing a Rico Bronya podcast?
Yes, but I have a special guest that I didn't think was going to be available, but now supposedly Evan is going to be doing a live Rico Bronya from the airport.
He's not going to the game. Is he? So he's not doing his show tomorrow.
Correct.
He's going on vacation. He's going to do the live podcast from the airport.
Yes.
Just take a vacation. Let Hoff do the show by himself. Come on, he can handle the pod. He does that WFAN daily pod. Come on. You can't.
Thanks for giving that to me, by the way.
You're welcome. BT and Sal, all the fans. No, so you're staying for the whole game?
Yeah. Oh, dude, 100%. I'm there. And then I'm going to be hosting later on at midnight.
I'm going to. Here's the thing. I want to stay for the whole game, obviously, depending on how it goes. If it's a blowout one way or another, see ya. I'm out. I want to beat the traffic. But last time I stayed for the whole game at Citi Field, I went on a Sunday, June 1st. I got Soto going. I told you I was out at the Cadillac Club. Why? You're the man, bro. You're the man. Let's go. Come on. You think it's coincidence? Player of the month. Player of the month. You do the math. Jinx my ass. But anyway, I stayed for the whole game because the game was only 2 hours long. It was like before you knew it, I wanted to enjoy the Cadillac Club, hanging out with my wife and daughter, my buddy Vin. And we're enjoying everything. And then the game was over. It's like, all right, I might as well see Diaz come in, close it out. And then I left. It took me just as long to get home than the actual game did. And I know about Met Yankee traffic, throwing the holiday. I'm not dealing with that. There's no way. There's no way. So I'm going to be, while I'm going to be watching the game, I will be on my phone, not playing solitaire. I will be on my phone checking Google Maps. I'm a Google Maps guy. I'm not a Waze guy. I've heard about the Waze. Don't like the Waze. My wife uses the Waze. I get lost with the Waze. I can't read it. I'm a Google Maps guy. I'll be sitting in the seat doing a Google Maps, checking the time, 7th inning, 8th inning. And if the Google Maps is all right, you know, if it's bad, I'll sit for the whole game and then wait it out. If it's good, then I'll probably take off.
So you don't want to stay for the fireworks? I think there's fireworks you have to, right?
Are there?
It's July 4th. You think they do something, no?
No, because the game ends at, it's a 3 o'clock start. So they're not going to have fireworks that early, right?
Oh.
Yeah, you're not going to see fireworks.
Well, they light fireworks every time there's a home run.
Yeah, well, that maybe, I guess. Do they do that?
I think they do.
I know the apple goes up. I don't know about the fireworks.
They do have fireworks, yes.
Is traffic worse? Do either of you guys know if traffic is worse on 4th of July?
Okay, so
it was great today, by the way.
I've had experiences with this. When I used to work for K-Rock, I did events back at like the beaches and whatnot, and then I have to drive back into the city and then go home. And I used to fly in and out of the city on July 4th.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. I'm thinking this is an easy work day. What are you kidding? Let me bank that day. I'm going to work 4th of July from the stadium, Mets Yanks, get pumped up for the game, stay for the game for a little bit, bounce, and go, you know, go hang out with my wife and daughter afterward. And then get set for the, we got to, see, here's the issue. Now, I tried to prepare my wife. I'm like, hey, instead of taking off on the 4th, I'm going to work 4th of July. And I told her this weeks ago. And it was one of those like, oh, okay, yeah, fine, no big deal. And then we have some people coming over, family coming over July 5th. And then it was, hey, just so you know, I'm working 4th of July. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I know. And then it finally was like, okay, well, what time are you coming home on 4th of July? I'm like, well, I mean, I'm going to leave the house at 8 probably because I got to get to the stadium by 9. Show starts at 10, as you know. Game starts at 3. I don't know, figure I stay for a couple hours, few hours, probably be home on 7:30, 8-ish. What? How are you going to get ready? I'm like, I told you I was working. What do you mean? What did you think this was? Half day? Come on, when I work, I work. I'll be home normal day. It's a work day. I'll make it up to you with another day in July or August. But I want to work 4th of July. But I might have to, you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I could stay for the whole thing.
Well, I disappointed my entire family. I'm not coming home then.
Yeah, you got to come right back in here. So you got the, we'll do the show from there tomorrow morning.
Watch the game, do a little Rico, then come home, maybe come here, take a couple hours nap maybe, and then go on at midnight.
Where are we on that guest list, by the way?
You know, we're building.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to the phones. Matt is calling from Westchester. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Sal? How we doing?
Good, Matt. How are you?
Doing well. So I'm going to make two Mets points. One is going off what you said earlier, which I have to respectfully disagree with. Our guy Jeff McNeil here makes $12.5 million this year and next year with a club option for the year after. Plays four positions, all above average, and since the All-Star break last year is hitting to an over 800 OPS. That's a guy I want on my baseball team, and that's a guy who, if he hit the open market, would be getting way more than that right now for both the versatility and what he brings. So,
which is why
I'm a big McNeil guy.
Yeah, I don't like his attitude. His act has been tired to me for years, and his production is not worth dealing with the attitude. I'm looking to shake things up a little bit. All those points you made, Matt, would make him, I would think, somewhat valuable on the trade market. You could use that money elsewhere to fit a bigger need. I like Acuna. I'd rather play him at second base and have his speed and defense as the floor, the bare minimum. Let him hit ninth, see what he could do offensively, but have the speed and defense there. I'm ready to move on from McNeil. I was years ago. He's not a center fielder. I give him credit because he's a versatile guy, to your point, and he plays hard. He could play outfield positions. He's not a center fielder. He shouldn't be in center field, period. That's how desperate the Mets are. He's not bad, but it's why I look to move him and change it up a little bit if I were the Mets.
No, look, I get the attitude thing. I just, you know, for a team that, as you know, you and I both know, we got to win this year and we got to go all in. And like, you know, Acuna had a great opportunity to prove himself and he didn't. So that's just my first point. And then my other point is, if I look at the biggest problem right now with the Mets, and I know you were big on him and I was huge on him also, unfortunately, to me, it looks like Vientos is, this year is more indicative of who he is, just looking at like the minors and, you know, the 2 years prior rather than last year. And it sucks because we were banking on him, but, you know, he doesn't make enough contact ultimately. And we're seeing that this year. And, you know, unfortunately, I think Beatty's going to probably have to step up and be the guy. And if he can get himself, you know, to a 750 OPS and play second and third base decently well, which he's shown in the field, that has value. But I'm souring on Vientos and hoping Beatty can at least pick up some of the slack if he can get himself to right around league average.
Vientos, Matt, and thank you for the call. Good stuff. Vientos has been a major problem. And this is why, look, you should know how I felt about Vientos. I mean, if you weren't listening to the show a year and a half ago, whatever it is, I'll fill you in now. I never believed in Vientos. And it wasn't just me and what my eyes were saying. It was more how the Mets were treating him and what was being said about him from people in the know. He doesn't have a position. His, you know, while he had good exit velo, just didn't trust him consistently enough offensively. So there were all those different things. My thing was like, a young player like this doesn't have a position. That's a problem right out of the gate. Now, when he came up, even in spurts, you saw some potential offensively. It was like, wow, we sure you can't find a spot for this guy? And then when he finally came up last year, he was terrific, as you know. Impact, not just good with potential, impact offensive bat. He moved up to the tool. I mean, Vientos was, and he was clutch postseason as well. Vientos was a stud. So he went from being, I don't want to say an afterthought, but a piece that many people didn't believe was going to be a usable commodity at the, you know, major league level every day, to being an impact, potentially game-changing bat in that lineup. So much so that even the naysayers like myself all had to be, wow, look at Vientos. You got to rely on this bat. He's going to be an impact bat, game-changing bat. And now he's fallen off. Now, the hope would be, could he be somewhere in between? But this type of year has been disastrous for Vientos and the Mets. I also do not think he is a third baseman. That is clear. Never was great there. He was serviceable, surprisingly serviceable a year ago. He can't be their third baseman. Wouldn't give up on his potential as a DH. I would not make him the third baseman. Cologne is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Cologne?
Hey, Sal. Happy 4th of July, Sal.
You too.
Hey,
what's up, man?
Hey, Sal. Hey, on the this Nick thing, this Nick situation looks very familiar to me. To like back in '95 when the Yankees and George let go of Buck Showalter. Everybody was not happy that Buck Showalter got let go, and then they brought in Joe Torre, which a lot of people were not very happy that either. And it turned out well. Now I'm not saying this Mike Brown is gonna have the same result as Joe Torre, but I'm gonna stay optimistic here. You know, the one thing I would say would be is that he was not their first choice. Jason Kidd was.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Brown is a good coach, and he has gone to the finals, and he has had won a couple of coaches of the year. So
yeah, but he got to the staying positive. Cologne is different. And while I don't like the hire, it doesn't mean that I don't believe that the Knicks, with their talent and roster, can compete for an NBA title. What I don't like is that I don't believe Mike Brown is a better head coach than Tom Thibodeau. So how could I justify that? How could I be okay with the Knicks firing the guy that I believe is a better head coach than the guy that they hired? You could have sold me on Jason Kidd, because not only is he different from Tom Thibodeau, there's still the potential there to be a great head coach. I don't believe Mike Brown will ever be a great head coach. Mike Brown has failed more than he's succeeded in multiple stops. He's not a program builder the way Tom Thibodeau was. Now, he doesn't have to be a program builder. He's got to get this team over the hump. But what makes me think Mike Brown's going to be that guy to get them over the hump? You want to use the Joe Torre, Buck Showalter analogy? Sure, go ahead. I mean, I guess that might work, it might not. I'm not giving up hope on the Knicks. I just believe they would have been in a better spot with Tom Thibodeau as the head coach, because he's a better head coach, and it would have been year two with him and this group with a deeper bench, with a better roster. They didn't give him a good enough bench a year ago, and then they ridicule him for saying he didn't use the bench enough. Give me Yabusele. Give me Clarkson. Those guys already make the Knicks bench better than what it was a year ago, immediately. And then give me Tibbs one more year with this group and let him figure it out. With Mike Brown, I have no idea what it's going to be. The offense may be better. Maybe the defense isn't. Maybe he gets the players to gel better. Maybe they don't. But I know this. I don't believe Mike Brown is a better head coach than Tom Thibodeau. I can't get away from that. They fired a guy who didn't do anything wrong. Usually you don't fire somebody for getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. Usually that's something you say, hey, you know what? We're lucky we have this head coach. Guy just dug us out of the abyss, built this thing up, got us to our first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. They said, we can do better. And then they settled on Mike Brown. They said we could do better. Maybe they had their eye on Jason Kidd. That's what was reported. He was their first choice. Obviously, they had their eyes elsewhere because they went and asked for 15 different guys before they finally settled on Mike Brown. And that's a guy that's never won a championship before and has been a failed head coach multiple times. Sorry if that doesn't excite me. Second round of the Subway Series, game one at Citi Field tomorrow morning. Looking forward to that on the 4th. Hate that it's buried on the 4th of July, but we'll make the most of it. Big show planned for you out there for the Subway Series. Obviously, the Mets and Yankees both struggling heading in to the Subway Series. 888-808-1019. That has been the main talking point today. The Yankees and their to me, organizational issues. I don't think that the team is bad or there's anything to be alarmed about. They're still going to be in the playoffs. They'll still be a team that could compete legitimately here throughout the American League, but they still just don't seem to get it when it comes to putting a team together. By the way, if you miss any of the show today or any day, remember, you can listen to the BT and Sal podcast on the free Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Sam is calling from Rockland. What's up, Sam?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about stats for a minute. My question is, if you believe that the Yankees are locked to get to the postseason this year, which you believe, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we know Stanton is a start in October, right?
Stanton what?
Isn't it worth... We know Stanton is a start in October, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's produced well in October, sure.
Isn't it worth having him on the roster during the season for October?
I mean, I guess, if that's your thing. I wouldn't want Giancarlo Stanton on the roster, period. End of story. And I said this back to 2018, so I've been consistent with this, Sam. I understand the appeal of that, and Stan has had at least two good postseasons. I also feel like pitchers are making mistakes. To me, Giancarlo Stanton can be pitched to, and pitchers just make a mistake with him, and if you make the wrong mistake at the wrong time, Stanton's going to run into one and do damage. That's what he does. I personally, see, you're looking at it, and I know a lot of people are looking at it, wow, Stanton's October prowess. The same way that we look at Judge and his October failures, it could flip at any moment. It's not like Giancarlo Stanton in every October has been such a beast for the Yankees. And if he's been that good, how come it took the Yankees finally till last year to get a breakthrough and get to a World Series? It wasn't just Giancarlo Stanton. Gleyber Torres had a good postseason. Obviously, Juan Soto was here as well. So it's not like Giancarlo Stanton has been some consistent beast for the Yankees. He hasn't. But you're also looking at it like that's a given, which it's not. The same way that Judge's struggles in October are not a given. He could flip the switch this year and have a tremendous October. Would anybody be surprised? I wouldn't. Also, if you take away what Stanton does well, which is what? Hit big home runs, you know, hit with power in the postseason. Take that away, but you're replacing him with somebody who could do other things well that can help you win a ball game. It's not just, well, you either have Stanton or you have nothing. No, if you replace Giancarlo Stanton on the roster, and by the way, they're not going to do this. I'm just saying it's what I would have done. I would have never have traded for him in the first place. The trickle-down effect of that trade has had, you know, the results from that have impacted the Yankees negatively over the years. There were repercussions from that trade. It seemed at the time like, oh, wow, the Yankees are getting this MVP for nothing. That's what it seemed like at the time. Look at all the moves that they could have made since. Look at the results that they've gotten from Giancarlo Stanton. The one thing about Stanton is you love his attitude. Team guy, unselfish, great attitude, accountable, all those things. We probably don't speak to that enough because he's always hurt and because he has so many limitations. Like can't run, can't field, can't throw, doesn't stay healthy, like all those different things. And even for me as a hitter, he's not consistent enough. Power, yes, still not consistent enough. I feel like when he, I know this is crazy, but I've been saying the same thing for years. Since he's been a Yankee, I feel like when he has success, that's more the aberration than the norm. It's like he closes his eyes or he guesses right and mashes a few and everybody's like, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. But what you'd be losing if you moved on from Stanton, you could gain in somebody that can play a position in the field, run the bases, maybe not strike out as much, put the ball in play. Now, again, it's not to make this about a Giancarlo Stanton issue, but it is a structural issue with the Yankees that they've had for a long time. Mike is with the bread. I don't understand what that means. What's up, Mike?
Sal, how you doing? Welcome back. Great show as always.
Thank you, Mike. With the bread, what's on your mind?
All right. Yeah, so often overlooked, and again today, it's just overlooked, is the fact that, I mean, you're talking about the Grand Slam by Nimmo, and then the people never scrutinize and that the two at bats and the two swings or the couple of swings that were way more important than that were the foul ball after foul ball after foul ball. I believe it was McNeil maybe and Mauricio ahead of
yes.
The first and Sal. They wore that guy out, frustrated him, and set him up.
I mean,
nobody talks about that, right? Well, I guarantee you in the clubhouse, they're not talking about Nimmo's homer. They're talking about those first two at-bats. Go back and look at it.
Yeah, Mendy. No, I saw Mendy addressed it last night in the postgame. 7-8-9 with two outs, getting on in front of Brandon Nimmo, setting the stage. Right. Yeah, that was huge. And also, by the way, the bounce of the ball there from Sanger. I mean, that's extremely fortunate for the Mets. And sometimes it takes a little bit of luck. But it's not the lineup change. I know that's the, Mendoza's a genius because he flip-flopped Nimmo and Lindor. No, maybe Lindor needed the wake-up call. I don't know. But I don't think that it's a lineup flip and now all of a sudden Nimmo's going to be great and Lindor. I hope they prove me wrong. I hope Nimmo proves me wrong because he's proved me wrong 2 years in a row the other way where I believed he was going to be an all-star. And thank you for the call, Mike. Good stuff pointing that out because it is a great point that gets overlooked. It's all about the Nimmo Grand Slam. The guys before him set the table. But Nimmo has proved me wrong the other way twice. I believed in him. I gave him the support. And this is for the caller before, way earlier. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app or iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. Where he called and was like, you guys should take some of the blame for the players struggling in New York because you're yelling about it 24 hours a day. Well, what about me when I come on the air and say, hey, I believe Brandon Nimmo's going to be an all-star this year. This is last year. And then fast forward to this year. Hey, I believe this is the year Nimmo's going to be an all-star. What about that? How'd that work out? So now Nimmo's proved me wrong twice when I believed in him and he has disappointed. Now I want him to prove me wrong the other way. When I'm saying that I don't trust that he's going to be a consistent offensive performer in the leadoff spot. I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. The potential's been there. It's always been there. I've always been higher on Nimmo than most, or certainly than BT. But he's actually got to do it at some point. And if he does, changes the entire look of the Mets lineup. Because you know what you're going to get from Lindor. You know what you're going to get from Soto. You know what you're going to get from Alonso. We haven't seen those three all together at once, get hot. We haven't seen Soto hit with runners in scoring position. We haven't seen Lindor and Soto and Alonso be hot together. And if we see that combined with Nimmo atop the order doing what he should do, that should be more than enough to overcome some deficiencies in the bottom half of that lineup. More than enough. But we haven't seen it yet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.